Hello and welcome to Technofunda Investing Podcast Series. This is the 10th episode in our Technofunda Investing Podcast. And I'm Vivek Mashrani, your host. And you can follow me on my Twitter handle, Mashrani Vivek, or visit my website, vivekmashrani.com. Today we are going to learn about an interesting topic, which is around portfolio allocation. And what is a better way to start this topic with a story? So it was year 2020, March COVID fall. All of you might have remembered the March COVID fall was drastic and the market was at its low. And there were two friends, Mungeri Lal and Chaman Lal, who thought, you know, it's 30th March and let's, you know, put some money because market looks like it has bottomed. So both these friends are putting 10 lakh rupees each in the stocks and creates their portfolio for the first time. Now fast forward 1 year, in April, you know, after they've completed 1 year, they are watching what happened to their portfolio. And Mungeri Lal says, you know, I made 11x on one stock in my portfolio. Chaman Lal says, you know, well, I have not made anything more than 2-3x. So the highest, return I've got is 3x on my portfolio. So I had put in some money and it has become 3x in one of the stocks. So now question to all of you is, who would have earned more money, whether it is Mungeri Lal or Chaman Lal? So Mungeri Lal made 11x on one of the stock and Chaman Lal made 3x in one of the stock. That is the maximum return in the portfolio of that particular person. So I'm sure a lot of you might have told and thought about Mungeri Lal because he has made 11x in one of the stocks. But the answer is, it depends upon how much those guys have allocated on that particular stock. Now in reality, Mungeri Lal just put in 1% portfolio allocation to that particular stock, which became 11x. So his 1% actually gave the profit on the portfolio of 10%, because that is what it multiplied. While Chaman Lal, on the stock which became 3x, he had put in 10% of capital. So in a way, he generated 20% of portfolio returns from that stock, which gave him maximum returns, while Mungeri Lal just made 10% return, although it became 11x. And that is the power of thinking about portfolio allocation. And that's what we are going to learn in today's podcast. It's going to be very, very interesting. And not many people talk about it. Just people just chase what are the portfolio returns in terms of the multiplier, right? So they just focus on multi-bagger returns. But they don't think about, if you actually find a multi-bagger, are you allocating enough to that particular company or stock in your portfolio? So that is what we are going to discuss. And we will answer a lot of your questions which you might have. You know, how many stocks you might need to put in a portfolio, whether concentrated portfolio is better or diversified portfolio is better, how to ride winners, how to compound your money effectively, what are the ways in which you can increase your allocation, how to, you know, think about sector tailwinds, how to manage your risk. So all these kind of questions in today's podcast, it will get busted forever. Yeah, so if you are ready for this, let's start with the first question, which a lot of you might have. A lot of people ask me as well in DM, you know, on Twitter. They just message me that, Vivek, how many stocks should be there in a portfolio? So my answer is very simple, you know. It is based on who you are and what is the kind of risk you are able to manage. If you are somebody who has a stable job, and if your overall things are taken care, you can go slightly concentrated. And if you are risk averse, you are very conservative, you don't know much about equity investing, you can go slightly diversified. Having said that, too many portfolio stocks is also dangerous. So the ideal, there is a study where it sees the what is the benefits of diversification on addition of each new company in the portfolio. And that study statistically says that between 15 to 25 stocks in a portfolio, the diversification is perfect. You know, so each new company you add, it actually helps you diversify your risk more. But beyond 25, it doesn't help much. And below 15, it gets too much risky. So ideally, again, in my approach is around 15 to 20 companies. And that is the sweet spot. You know, 15 to 25 companies is a decent balance between very high diversification and very high concentration. If you are too much into it and you have that kind of risk profile, you are able to take risk. I've seen people even making a portfolio of 10 companies, but I believe that kind of is too risky, particularly if you are not full time and you are just getting started. It's prudent to have a reasonable diversification. Now, a lot of people have portfolio stocks of like tens and thousands of companies, right? So they have like 100 companies. I've seen people having 200 companies in their portfolio. And that is just not what it should be, right? And even surprisingly, some of the mutual funds also I've seen like having 40, 50 companies in the portfolio. So if you have those kind of portfolio, I'm sure the maximum allocation will be like what, 1-3%. And even if something in your portfolio runs and it becomes 2x, 5x, as I mentioned in the story of Mungeri Lal and Chaman Lal, nothing is going to happen in your portfolio, right? So the idea is you need to have your winners backed by capital, backed by reasonable allocation, then only things will change in your life. So now the question you need to ask is, when you are allocating on any company, and even if you are thinking about concentrated versus diversified portfolio, the biggest question you need to ask is, does it make big difference to my net worth if this stock becomes 5x or 10x? You have to ask each time when you are allocating capital on one particular company or a stock, you have to think that if this stock becomes 5x or 10x, whatever time frame it may be, 2 years, 5 years, will it make big difference to my net worth? Will it make big difference to my overall lifestyle? Will it change my overall trajectory in terms of my finances? And if your answer is no, that means you are under-allocated. So there are four kind of common mistakes which people make. First is under-allocation. So they know the story. They probably are convinced about the company. They have analyzed it well. But they will under-allocate, so the idea is really good. It can become 5x, 10x, and what they will allocate is just 1%, and even if they become 10x, 11x, it doesn't move the needle, right? Second thing what people do is over-allocation, because they have just researched, they got some tip, and they are still not convinced, but they feel, I want to make quick money. So they put a lot of money behind it. That is also wrong, right? So we have to be balanced in our approach, what we are allocating and what is the kind of probability of success. Again, there is no surety that company will become 5x or 10x when we are analyzing. But what we have to think about is how we can increase the probability. If the probability is very high that this company will become 5x or 10x, then it should be backed by capital. And I'll tell you a method in the end, how I go about it, so that, even if something goes wrong, you can, save yourself. It's more like a risk management strategy. At the same time, if it is working for you, how you can make it big. So I'll tell you during the webinar, during the podcast, how to go about it. Now, one more point which I want to cover is, story of, Rocking Ranjita and her husband, whose name is Rancho. Okay. So Rancho is like, very neat and tidy person as such. He doesn't like anything, kachra in the house. And each time he comes from the office, he just goes in his room and anything it's here and there, he just, screams at Rocking Ranjita. So one day what happens is Rocking Ranjita is, again, both of them are good in finance. So one day Rocking Ranjita saw the portfolio of Rancho and she did not tell anything. But what she did is she put a banana peel on the table of Rancho. So when Rancho came in the evening from office and he saw that there is this banana peel on lying on the table, he was frustrated and he told, why are we keeping kachra in the house, right? And that is where Rocking Ranjita actually showed the portfolio of Rancho and told, then why are you also keeping kachra in your portfolio, right? So the idea is, lot of us have so many kachra stocks in our portfolio, and sometimes it's not by choice. Sometimes we know that probably the company will do good and it will go 2x 3x. We bought it, say likes of Suzlon and Unitech in the past, past karma, right? You might have bought it and then it has continuously fallen, and now probably it's less than 1% kind of allocation, and you feel like, or kitna niche jayega, let it be there in the portfolio, right? Or other way around, I've seen a lot of people who buy the falling knives, right? So say for example Kutons, it was 1,000 rupee stock at one point of time and then it fell continuously, went to 100, then went to 10 rupees, now it is not even listed. What people do is, when it is like 5 rupees, 10 rupees, those typical penny stocks, they buy them. I've seen a lot of people even buy Yes Bank and all those kind of stock. Again, no recommendation, it's just all examples which I'm talking about in this entire podcast. But you get the point, right? So it's like 5 rupee, 10 rupee, 15 rupee stock. Either it's like past, bad karma, right? Past purane janmo ke paap, right? Or they think that it is 5 rupees, 10 rupee stock, or kitna niche jayega, right? So it's called or kitna niche jayega syndrome. And they don't know that even 5 rupee stock can go to 50 paisa and it is still 90% down. And 50 paisa stock can even go to zero and it's 100% loss, right? And I've seen companies getting delisted and, getting out of the exchange because of this phenomena. The company doesn't exist anymore. And if you are putting money there, even if it is like 1 lakh rupees, 50,000 rupees, whatever small amount it is, one, you are prohibiting the compounding of your capital by putting in those kachra. And second, that same capital could have been used in your winner and that could have multiplied. So you are basically losing on two fronts. And why does that happen? That happens because there is a phenomena called loss aversion. It's a natural bias. When we are incurring loss, we don't want to book out the losses, right? And then people ask me, what should we do then? Should we, not keep these companies in your portfolio? And I ask the same question what Rocking Ranjita said. Even if there is one kachra in your house, will you keep that banana peel on your table forever or you will throw it out, even if it is just one small piece, right? So the idea is, ideally, the point when you know that this is kachra, you should throw it away, whatever price it is, sell it and allocate that same money to winners. Suppose it is just 0.5% allocation, right? Say it is, you have a 10 lakh portfolio and it's a 50,000 position which you are left with, the kachra stock. And that becomes zero after 2 years, right? So you didn't made any money. But suppose that 50,000 you put in a winner which you have in your portfolio, you might have already some allocation there. But now that becomes 10x. So your 50,000 actually becomes 5 lakh rupees. So even though it might sound as small amount, but if you are actually able to move that to your winners, that is where it will create drastic difference. So what should one do? Ride your winners, ditch your losers, and whatever capital you are getting from those losers, just allocate back to your winners and never buy a kachra fresh, right? You don't go in the market and say, ye kachra hai, let me buy it, even though it is like almost free. You don't take those kachra at your home, right? So that is exactly same you need to think about when it comes to investing, okay? So hope the overall idea is clear. Hope you understood what I'm talking about. So now let's think about a very, very powerful concept, which is called 80-20 principle. Okay. So most of the times, if you see your portfolio, you know, 80% of the stocks will be contributing to 20% of your profits, and 20% of your stocks will be contributing to 80% of your profits. So the winners will be always very, very scarce in your portfolio. It will be like 10 to 20%. If you are holding, say, 10 to 15 company portfolio, you might have 2 to 3 winners at max or 4 winners at max, right? You will not have all 10 companies running and making multi-bagel returns. Yes, of course, it might be 1x, 2x, 3x. But those company who make 40x, 50x, 100x, you know, those will be rare, you know. And even if you see the entire universe of BSE and NSE stocks combined, out of those 3,000 to 5,000 companies, there are only 400,000 to 500,000 decent companies where people have made decent money, right? Rest of the 80% of the companies have not generated decent returns. So that is where it is very important to understand this 80-20 Pareto principle even in your stock portfolio. And if you think about all the investors, big investors who have made good money, you know, you think about Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, what all stocks he has made big money. If it, you can count it on fingertips, in fact. So Titan and Crisil are only two big winners which has transformed the life of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, right? So as of now, I think the net worth of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala in terms of the portfolio stocks is 15 to 16,000 crores approximately. Again, I'm not 100% sure. But out of that, Titan itself is worth more than 7,000 crores. More than 50% of the, you know, overall net worth is just in one stock, Titan. Okay. And it has become what it has because what Rakesh Jhunjhunwala has done is let those winners run. And he might be putting small allocation, you know, 5 crore, 50 crore, 100 crores here and there. But if you observe, he will not increase the allocation to the companies where it is not moving in his favor. So naturally, you have to follow the same principle, right? As I said, keep riding your winners. Even though, you know, the allocation increases, it's perfectly fine. So that is what Rakesh Jhunjhunwala did. If you think about Ramdev Agarwal, I think again, same story. The biggest gain he has made is, I think, in stocks like Hero Honda and Airtel. And I think Hero Honda he was holding until 2015. And it became from, I think, 30 rupees to 2,600 rupees. Right? And I think he's still holding in one or other PMS, if I'm remembering correctly. Right? So these all guys understand these principles. Even if you think about Warren Buffett, the biggest allocations are probably in 3 to 4 stocks. You know, if you think about Apple, MX, Coca-Cola, I think these are the biggest allocation what he has. Others are very, very small allocation. He just experiments those situations. And then, you know, basically whatever is running in his favor, he keeps let them run, right? So that is very, very important principle you should keep in mind. So logically, your highest winner or the biggest gainer should have highest allocation, and your highest loser should have lowest allocation, ideally zero. You should ideally kick it out from your portfolio, right? So that is around the 80-20 principle. Now let's jump into how to compound your money, and then, you know, let's connect it back to the portfolio allocation part. Now, anytime when you are analyzing a company and you are thinking about investing, for a retail investor, if you want to compound decently, what you should keep in mind is 25 CAGR compounding formula. Okay, And if you go to my previous podcast where I've taken a session on how to, you know, make 100 crores out of 10 lakh rupees, you will find this entire thing. And there is a similar presentation made by Ramdev Agarwal on how I made 0 to 1,000 crores. So he actually shares his journey from, you know, 0 to 1,000 crore, how he was able to make. And I will highly recommend it. I'll probably share the presentation link below the podcast. You can grab it once you listen to this podcast. And the formula is again same. You know, what I've talked about in that podcast is that you need to think about rule of 72. So rule of 72 says that if you divide your percentage return to 72, so 72 divide by whatever return you are getting, it will give you the number of years approximately in which your money will double, right? So if you think about 72 divide by approximately 25%, then what it means is your money will double in every 3 years. So same principle you have to apply when you are analyzing and you are thinking of allocating you know, capital to the companies which you are analyzing, right? So ask yourself, will this company become 2x in 3 years? You know, will the earnings become 2x in 3 years? And what are the chances that other factors like, you know, PE rating and everything, if considered, whether this company can become 2x in 3 years? And again, as I said, you know, there is no 100% guarantee in stock markets. It is probability. It might happen, it might not happen. That is secondary. The point I'm making is, when you are analyzing, at least if you are confident that this will become 2x, then go for it. If you are yourself not confident of that becoming 2x, or you are not able to find those triggers, those drivers to make that happen, then it is mostly futile. So very, very important. Note this down, if you have pen and notepad. Ask yourself, will this company become 2x in 3 years? Every time when you allocate, and same decision you have to keep repeating and repeating, and then you will see how beautiful your portfolio becomes over a period of time, right? So this is more like a litmus test, and you can use this also for reviewing your portfolio. So when you have already bought the company thinking it will become 2x in 3 years, it has already been 2 years. And now if you want to reassess and review your portfolio, you can ask the same question, whether from here it will become 2x in 3 years. If the answer is no, you can probably think of moving it out or changing that with another company outside your portfolio, or you can decrease the allocation. So you can take all those decisions based on what answer you are getting. Okay. So that is more like a 25% CAGR compounding formula. And if you are able to do this again and again, I'm sure, you know, that will change your life. Okay. Now let's come to sector tailwinds and market leaders. So in order to get benefit from, you know, what is happening in sector and how the entire sector is moving, it is very important to again think about what are overall sector tailwinds, whether there are any benefits that the companies in a particular sector getting. So you might have seen my video in 2018 on you know, chemicals, and that time, you know, so many tailwinds were there. You know, there were China issues going on, so Indian companies were getting benefited. The supply chains were changing. You know, there are a lot of factors in terms of strength of these companies. You know, they were moving up the value chain, and all those things I've covered. I'll probably share a link of that video also below this. But fast forward 2-3 years, you know where this entire sector has gone, right? So a lot of companies have become multi-bagger, 5x, 10x in that sector. And same way, you know, I created a video last year, March 2020, I think April 2020, on API companies, on pharma sector, what things are moving and how the entire sector is playing out. And fast forward 1 year itself, you know that a lot of companies created multi-bagger returns in that sector, right? So it is very important again to think about overall top-down approach, see how the entire sector is doing. And if sector is really doing good, and if you are also getting the answer that my company can become 2x in 3 years, then probably, you know, the combination of that should command more allocation, more portfolio allocation, and should be backed by even more capital if that is really happening. That is where you will make bigger money on your portfolio. And also you can think about choosing market leaders in each of the sectors which you are playing out, because generally, you know, top one or two players in the sector will be strongest. And if you are thinking of long-term compounding, that is kind of a good way to allocate your capital. Again, all the other research you need to do, I've also shared a lot of these things in one of my video on YouTube channel, so you can go and watch that as well. But all the study, once you have done, but if, you know, there is a additional sector tailwinds or the company's market leader, it commands probably thinking about more allocation to those kind of companies, right? So that is on sector tailwinds and market leaders. And what I follow in my overall process is I follow a ranking process, right? So I have my own proprietary, you know, model which I've prepared for ranking stocks in the portfolio that considers some 5 to 7 factors on sector, that considers, you know, around 5 to 7 factors on technicals, and around 8 to 10 factors on fundamentals. And based on the drop down which I select, it will give me a cumulative score, and then it gives those kind of score for each and every company in my portfolio. And that is where I can rank the companies in my portfolio. And then versus that, I see what is the percentage allocation done to each of the company. The higher rank should ideally have highest allocation. The lower rank should have lower allocation. So if there is a misfit, you know, if I see something which is coming higher scoring in my overall review and it has a lower capital allocation, then I have to again think why that is happening. And same way, you know, other way around, if the rank is actually lower but my allocation is higher, then again I need to stay cautious and probably I need to rotate some capital from that to the stronger players in my portfolio, right? So that is the kind of ranking, you know, methodology I've developed. That is my own brainchild which I have developed over the years. Now, you know, a lot of experience I have, like since 12-13 years I've been into this field, and I kind of keep on developing these kind of objective ways in which we can take our portfolio decisions. Now, two more common mistakes which people do in terms of portfolio allocation. Again, earlier I mentioned under allocation and over allocation. Two more mistakes which people do is overstaying with winners and overstaying with losers. So overstaying with losers, we already discussed, right? You buy that kachra stock, it has gone down, say 70, 80, 90%. You still have that loss aversion and you don't want to get out of it. Another problem is overstaying with winners. So suppose you bought a company, it became 10x, then it became 20x, then it became 30x. And now the growth has finished, the company is not growing that much, the tailwinds are gone, and actually it's a cyclical company, and after 3 years it starts falling. And we might have that bias that, okay, since it created big wealth for me, let me hold it up. And sometimes even we top up, you know, so every fall we keep on buying and averaging down. That is like the worst mistake you should make, right? So don't do that. And the idea is you should have exit strategy in place. So when it falls or, you know, it starts going down due to fundamental reasons and there is issue in the company, even though it was a past winner, you know, doesn't matter. But you should have that risk management. You should have that exit strategies in place. And personally, I use various indicators to take these kind of exit decision so that, you know, at least I protect my compounding. So if I've done my compounding for a few years, at least I take that back and I can reuse that capital to compound further, right? Otherwise, what will happen? You made 1 to 10x and that falls again 90%. And if you keep averaging down, you are nowhere, right? So although you had that winner in your portfolio, it doesn't create any impact on your overall net worth. Right, so that is very, very important point to note. Another point which I want to cover before we jump into the next part is the same story of Mungeri Lal and Chaman Lal. Now, both of them probably, you know, had put in 10 lakh rupees each to create a portfolio in March 2020. And coincidentally, both of them doubled their money, right? So they got 100% return on their portfolio. So Mungeri Lal made from 10 lakh rupees to 20 lakh rupees. Chaman Lal also made from 10 lakh rupees to 20 lakh rupees. Now, my question is, who will be better off in terms of their lifestyle? Again, the answer is, it depends how much percentage of their overall net worth they have put in into the stocks, right, or their equity portfolio. So if, say for example, Mungeri Lal had 20 lakh rupees in total and he had put in 10 lakh rupees, 50% of his overall capital into portfolio, and it has doubled, it will change his lifestyle significantly. His net worth will change significantly. His net worth will go from 20 lakh rupees to 30 lakh rupees thanks to the 10 lakh rupees profit he got. But for Chaman Lal, he was, he has 2 crores of overall net worth. He has just put in 10% of his overall capital into equity, right? And even though it has become 100% more, 10 lakh rupees more, his overall net worth has gone only from 2 crore rupees to 2 crore 10 lakh rupees, 2.1 crore. And it will not materially change his lifestyle. It will not materially change his net worth. So again, this is very critical point you need to think about, that if you are really confident, if you are really investing, you should have skin in the game and allocate balanced capital. I'm not saying go all in and, you know, put all the money in equity, but at least it should be to an extent that if it materially gives you profits, it should change your lifestyle, it should change your net worth, it should create some delta, it should move some needle in your life, right? Otherwise, what is the point of putting so much hard work analyzing these kind of companies and taking so much of stress, right? So think about it. It is very, very important point which I have given to you, and you should definitely understand this. Now, what I do in terms of Technofunda investing strategy is, I don't know whether any company which I'm buying which will become my winner. So I don't believe in putting all the capital upfront. So I'll put 5%, 10% just in one go in the first tranche itself, right? Because we are not sure. World is very dynamic. Tomorrow things might change. The company might not work out. And my 10% might even become 5%, and I might even incur losses, right? So there is no guarantee of winning when we are backing it by capital. So that is where I use approach called foot in the door approach. So while analyzing a company, if it looks interesting, you put 0.5 to 1% capital, just put a foot in the door, just take a tracking position. And if it works out in your favor, if the fundamental thesis starts playing out, the stock price also is backing that fundamental action, the earnings growth, the re-rating, whatever it's happening, you gradually keep increasing the allocation. You basically average up, right? So as the company goes higher, as the story unfolds, as the company becomes stronger, better, keep watering your flowers, keep allocating more and more to the companies, to the winners, which are actually making difference in your portfolio. And again, I use a lot of indicators because I practice a blend of technicals and fundamentals. And I use certain indicators to even take my averaging up decisions so that the entire process is very, very systematic. And of course, the exit system is also in place. So if tomorrow things doesn't go well, and even though I've allocated higher percentage of capital, I'll still be able to get out from that position, right? So that is one thing. And of course, I probably don't like to have any kachra. And if there is any kachra, I probably cut it short and use that to keep watering your flowers. Because as Peter Lynch says, it is always, always prudent to keep watering your flowers and cut your weeds. And pretty much everybody who has been successful in investing has done this. You know, they've kept flowering, they've kept watering their flowers. So they've allocated more and more to their winners, and they have minimized the allocation to losers. Yeah, so that is the whole segment on portfolio allocation, which I wanted to cover, because that is most ignored factor. And the process which I mentioned, Technofunda investing process, and how I think about compounding, how I allocate capital. If you want to know that in more detail, I'll share the link to my webinar. You can join my upcoming webinar on compounding, and I'll run you through the detailed Technofunda investing process, and you will exactly understand how all these steps in terms of putting foot in the door, then averaging up, and then exit decision, how I take it. I'll share a lot of case studies, and it will be crystal clear to you if you want to understand that process. So I'm sharing the link in the description below. You can just click on it and you can register for my upcoming webinar, and I'll see you there live. And one more thing which I would like to do is, if you liked this podcast, do share this with your friends who are investing, or even though they are not investing or they are just getting started, share it with them so that they don't make the exact same mistakes with a lot of people are making, and they will be better off in the initial journey itself, so that their compounding works in their favor, and you know, you will get blessings from their family if they financially become better because of the small thing of sharing which you have done today. Yeah, so thank you again for listening. Have a great day today, and I really appreciate your time for listening this till the end. Keep listening to other podcasts, and also you can you know, visit my website vivekmashrani.com. I have a lot of interesting articles and videos and other useful stuff on investing which I keep sharing. So do visit that, and stay safe, and God bless. Thank you for listening.